to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. Here we are back at the Tower of Hope, and we have another great show. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are on Empowered by the Spirit. And we have two incredible people. I have to say that because one of them is my wife. 47 years almost this year. Actually, when this is airing, I think it's going to be 47 years. Welcome, Marianne Greco.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
It's great to be on the show with you. This is incredibly exciting. And I'm unbelievably excited to have a dear friend, Kate Neuhauser, on the show. Welcome to the show, Kate.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And we were together, the three of us, in the Holy Land, which is an amazing, amazing experience. And the title of the show today is Women and Spirituality. So obviously, I'm going to be asking a lot of questions. But Kate, before we get started, and I normally don't say when the show is being recorded versus when it's actually being aired. But today I'm going to make an exception. And I'm going to, first of all, say this. Happy birthday to you. Kate enjoys birthdays like I have never seen before. And we were in the Holy Land together on her birthday. And what is today, Marianne?
Today is your birthday.
Oh, happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Okay.
He likes
enough
his birthday as well.
Yeah. So I'm with many of my best friends here on the air. As you're listening, my birthday already was held, but it's a birthday month, right?
There we go. It's a birthday month. We both send the same 30 days.
Yeah. Every single day, you know, her birthday was towards the end of the trip, but before her birthday, after her birthday, I kept saying, happy birthday, happy birthday.
He sang happy birthday to me multiple times, multiple days, in multiple locations.
Amen, amen. And, you know, we have this huge birthday coming up. What's that birthday, Marianne?
The birthday of our Lord.
Of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we're in the Advent season, an Advent season of hope, an Advent season of anticipation, an Advent season focusing on the themes of hope, of faith, of love, the theme of joy, obviously, in Gaudente Sunday. Advent is some one of anticipation. And there's so much to be excited about, Kate, as it relates to this whole Christmas season. And what's the Christmas season mean to you?
We just talked about it. It's about hope. It's that something is coming to make your life better, to give your life completion. That it's a going towards completion. It's not just hope. It's knowing that something is coming for you to save you, that someone is being promised and given to you. This is the birth of our Lord, our salvation.
Amen. And it's something to be so excited about.
Yes.
Amen, amen, amen. We know John 3:16, for God so loved us, loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, so whoever may believe in him will have eternal life. And we say yes to Jesus. And Kate, a big part of your life is saying yes to Jesus. And tell us your story about you grew up in where?
So I was born on the East Coast, and then my parents and I moved here to California about 20 years ago. I grew up Catholic, went to C's, which is how I met you guys, here in Orange County, Irvine. I ended up going to Mater Dei High School. That had not originally been the plan. I had started off in public school. And then I made the choice to go to Mater Dei. My mom was very happy about that, but I made that choice. I didn't realize it at the time, but that was God calling me and to really set me on a spiritual journey that I didn't even realize until much later. And then after Mater Dei, I went to Concordia University, the Lutheran college right by where I grew up down the street in Irvine.
Which is awesome. And you are a young adult.
Yes.
And so we're talking today about women and spirituality. And it's so important to understand the value of women, Marianne, because you look and you're actually doing a teaching, I believe, this week on Mary Magdala. And we went to Magdala, the three of us, which was amazing, you know, in terms of Israel. And
it celebrates the women there.
Yeah.
And all the women. And when you think of women and spirituality, Marianne, from a obviously our generation, our older generation, baby boomer generation. What do you think of when you think of women in spirituality?
Well, I teach Bible studies with women. I really enjoy it because I think women are very open to sharing their lives and being real about it and being open to spirituality. So I think they're very open to receive new things and to learn and to grow.
And women have a way of really leading men. And, you know, I work hard to try to get men to be kind of taking responsibility, taking leadership roles and so forth. But so many times the women take the lead and, you know, I mean, which is praise the Lord. But at the same time, you know, it'd be nice to have men step up. But, you know, as it relates to young adults, tell us about that journey, you know, in terms of being a woman. You made a statement that was really very meaningful to me. And do you know where I'm going with this?
I have no idea.
You have no idea. I know. That, I love to do that. We're on the trip and we have our last night, our banquet night, and we're all giving kind of testimonies as to what the trip was to the Holy Land and what it meant to us. And you had these very profound statements. But one of the things that you said was you looked at Deacon Barry, a shout out to Deacon Barry Harper, shout out to him, Bernie Ocampo, and you looked at the men who were on the trip and you said, it's really nice to see role models that are men as it relates to spirituality. And I mean, as a young adult, you know, your thoughts about the whole dynamics as it relates to men and the influence on women, you know, also is kind of an important comment, I think.
Well, I mean, I grew up in a family where only the women really were not saying only the women are faithful isn't fair, but they're the ones who made sure we went to church and who made sure we prayed before our meals and made sure we knew our Bible stories, whether, you know, they were the watered down versions or all taught as kids and then helping us experience what the stories actually were and the deeper meanings behind them. But I didn't have a lot of men in my life, honestly, at all, who wanted to go to church or who wanted to pray and who wanted to have a relationship with God more than just say, oh, yeah, Jesus, I got him. Like, we only go on Christmas and Easter. And we went to Israel to see men who prayed constantly, not even when we were all praying as a group, but to see men who would sit on the bus and who would reflect and continue to pray and who, you know, would talk to me at lunch about my spiritual journey and if there was anything they ever needed to see and if I could ever, you know, use a male role model to, like, talk to them and help them. I had that. I just didn't grow up. I only grew up with women who were faithful.
And so many times that's the case, right, Marianne?
We find a lot of times that it's the majority of when you have an event, it's the majority is women. They come to the events to grow. And like Kate said, to, you know, they kind of get us there in the beginning as children.
And we give events and teaching seminars, you know, all over the country and all over the world, actually, in terms of a number of different things. And I estimate about 75 to 80%. In attendance are usually women,
mm-hmm.
You know, so thank you, women. And thank you so much for the leadership that you're showing. And men, you know, it's time for to step up. But Kate, as a young adult, and do you consider yourself a millennial, right?
I'm at like the very beginning of when the millennial generation started. So a lot of the things that millennials do, I'm very like, whoa, what are you guys thinking? I do not agree with the way you are behaving at all. But I am technically in that at the very beginning.
And so as a woman, as a millennial, you know, your thoughts on terms of women and spirituality of your age group?
I think the millennial, quote unquote, movement or whatever you want to say, is trying to almost shut down women in faith. I don't feel that oftentimes it's encouraged for us, not like from other people, but from my peers. I have a friend who, when she's dating, she's afraid to tell the men who are asking her out that she can't go out on Friday nights until after 7 because she goes to mass because she's afraid of what they'll think of her. Or that they'll say, oh, she's too religious, I don't want to do this. I, on Facebook, not to get political or anything, but, you know, if I post something about my faith or anything like that, people are like, but you're a woman. Don't you, like, think the church is, like, not good? And I'm like, what are you talking about? There's so many powerful women in our stories. I don't think you know what you're talking about either. It's very hard to be faithful in this, at my age, in this day and age, especially when you're a young adult, because you don't have your family backing you at home to help you and encourage you and remind you to pray and to remind you to have that personal relationship with God. But I'm also not married to my own family yet either. So I'm in this in-between place, as so many people my age are, without a good backing to help me when I'm struggling in faith. And so it's easy to get pulled down again and again that, you know, going to church isn't good, or it's not like necessary, or that, you know, we should be doing other things that are more pro women that the church isn't.
You're my hero, by the way. Just for the record, you are our hero.
You know, Kate, I know you say it's difficult for someone your age and you're not getting support by your peers, but I really got to know Kate when she came to my Bible study for women. And you know, she's the youngest one there.
By like 20,
Kate.
30
Yay,
years.
But now, no, you didn't have to date us so much. But what?
I babysat some of these women's children. Like, let's be real here.
You didn't have to date us. But, you know, okay. We're old.
What possessed you?
We don't feel old.
What drew you to come? You know, here you are, a young adult, and you're coming to a Bible study with women. What was the draw there? Why did you make that decision?
I was trying to be, so I had been out of college for a couple of years, and right after college, a group of my friends and I, we had a bi-weekly Bible study. We tried to keep going. But then, you know, life happens. We all, you know, got better jobs. We couldn't, like, just hang out all the time anymore. And I was looking at the bulletin because I wanted to be closer to God. I had been struggling, not with Christianity or Catholicism, but just with, like, my own place in God's plan. And I was looking for a place to go, and women's Bible study was on the bulletin, and so I showed up.
So you're just open.
I showed up.
And she's really added a lot to the group, too.
You know, one of the phrases of Jesus on the cross, the same phrase that Jesus told St. Faustina, the same phrase that Jesus told St. Mother Teresa, I thirst, I thirst. My brothers and sisters, it is about thirsting for God. As we take a look at Matthew 5:6, it says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, which means God's will, for only then will they be filled. Only then will they be satisfied. My brothers and sisters, you've tried to do it your way. And how's it working out for you? How's it working out for you? You know, we all try and do it our way. We look at the world and what does the world has to offer? Sex, money, power, you know, fame, you know, get that big job and everything's going to be fine. I remember when I finally got the big job, the big corner office, Kate, you know, I looked around and I said, is this all it is? Is this it? You know, I mean, the world cannot fulfill us. We're going to be right back to talk more about the struggles about being a woman and what you have to do in order to maintain your spirituality. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are on Empowered by the Spirit.
Showing for one night only at a theater near you. A story about the devastating consequences of the sexual revolution and one father's quest for answers.
Have you seen the videos and Instagram posts and ads the young women are fed these days? It's craziness.
From writer-director Don Johnson, a new documentary that uncovers the truth about how we got here.
The gist of Cosmo was hard work and sex without the kids will set you free.
Unprotected, featuring stories and insight from some of today's most articulate Catholic thinkers, including Christopher West and Jennifer Fulweiler. Tickets available now at unprotectedmovie.com.
Don't miss this one-of-a-kind Christmas spectacular performed by the hashtag Media Nuns, the Daughters of St. Paul. See the sisters live in concert on December 15th and 16th at Barnum Hall in Santa Monica. Be inspired by the joy of the sisters and the true meaning of Christmas. For details and tickets, go to pauline.org/LA concert. That's pauline.org/LA concert and celebrate the true meaning of Christmas.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are on Empowered by the Spirit. We're talking about women and spirituality with Kate Neuhauser, Marianne Greco, and we're focused right now on the younger generation, the millennial generation, single women, and what they have to do in order to live out their spirituality. My guess is it's a real challenge.
Huge challenge.
Tell us about it.
On the most basic level, I just turned 31, and there's not a place for me in church. There really isn't. It's not an issue with God. It's an issue with church. And it's not just ours. It's across the border. I am single and 30, and so I don't have kids, so I can't take my kids and make friends that way. There aren't usually a lot of single events, and I'm not asking my church to set me up with somebody, but there's not like a place. I'm at a weird age where there isn't a good community, because most people my age right now have kids, who are, especially people who are involved in the church, they tend to be more family focused if they're in the church. So they tend to be married and have kids earlier because they're focused on God and focused on faith and focused on family. And I kind of feel like I get left out a little bit. Like, I mean, going to Bible study, I was talking about, I'm the youngest person there, which I don't mind, but my struggles are very different from everybody else's in Bible study. And that's a group I love. Same thing with, you know, just going to Mass after Mass when people are hanging out and talking. I usually hang out with, if I hang out at all, it's my parents' old friends who I grew up knowing, or it's like the kids I used to babysit for who are younger. I'm very much alone at Mass in my church.
Yeah, and that creates a real problem. And some of the things that's so important, my brothers and sisters, is to try to invite people to come with you, you know, of your generation and so forth. But that becomes a challenge, because I know you're not someone who's shy.
No.
But they look at you as being kind of old fashioned, right?
Oh, all the time.
And so how do you counter that? How do you get past that?
Usually it's a discussion that ends up being had, because I'm very open of, I can't work today. I have Bible study on Thursday mornings. I cannot come in until 1. This is my priority, which often will like lead to a discussion. And I had a boss who was like, really? Okay. Like, and I was like, this is my faith. Like, I'm not going to choose this over faith. But she'd be like, but what do you get out of it? I get closer to God. And people just, a lot of it is people don't understand. And it's hard to make people understand, or people will make comments like, oh, well, I go to, you know, this bar every Sunday. That's my church. And I'm like, that's a totally different thing. Just because you go to something every week doesn't mean it changes your life. It doesn't mean it. People sometimes make comparisons as well between church and like doing something else on a dedicated basis or something. And they don't understand. Or they don't want to understand.
It's difficult, I think, to speak out. And yet, Kate, you do it. And, you know, it's so inspiring to us as well, the older women in the group, to see that she has the tenacity to keep going and to share her faith in situations that aren't as comfortable as it is in the little Bible study.
But that hasn't always been easy. It's only really been, I mean, I've never lied about my faith, but it's only been the last couple of years that I've been a lot more like, I'm going to bring it up and I'm going to talk about it. And I don't care if we're in a public place at a restaurant. I'm going to pray before I eat. It's not going to be out loud because I am respectful of other people. But I'm going to bow my head. I'm going to fold my hand, and then I'm going to cross myself. But that has also been a blessing, too, because I've seen other people who will then not just be respectful and wait for me to finish, but who will pray with me. I was at a basketball game about, 2 years ago.
Go Clippers? Should we say
always go Clippers?
Go Clips, go Clips.
They're doing really well right now, too. I had said something to my ex-boyfriend's friend about God and praying, and then he brought up his girlfriend was actually trying out for Hamilton because she's a dance person.
Wow.
Yeah, and
I score tickets?
She didn't make it, unfortunately.
Oh,
but if she ever does,
okay,
I'll make sure to hook
I'll
you up.
I'll fly to wherever she is.
And I was like, would it be okay if I prayed for her? And he kind of looked at me, he's like, of course, like, do you want to pray now? And that was never a comfort. If I hadn't been as open to just being asking, like, can I pray for somebody? Like, is that okay? I now have a better relationship with both him and his girlfriend because we've talked about our faith together. But that, again, like I said, that's not always easy. And I've definitely asked to pray for people, and people are like, I guess. But you have to keep putting yourself out there. And it's sometimes people look at you oddly or kind of like comment about it, but I mean,
you know, it's one of the best kept secrets so many times. We talk about a program called Be My Witness that we are implementing, Renew International, give them a plug. And we try to teach people how to share their faith. You know, I remember at work, we started a Bible study at work that I was at, my last job. And it turned out that all these people started finding out about it, and they came up to me and they said, well, yeah, you know, I'm Catholic. And I would have never known, because people don't necessarily share that, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think as it relates to certainly the younger generation, millennials and certainly the Gen Xers, that's certainly the case. But what is the real issue as it relates to the millennials, as it relates to really their priorities? That to me is the most important thing, because I see the
YOLO. You only live once. That started with with my generation a few years ago now. That's the problem. You only live once. So you do things for now. You do things for the likes on Instagram and for the views on YouTube and for the Insta fame. And you want to, people my age and younger, all they want is for people to know who they are. And again, that's not everybody, but that is a lot of people. People I have babysat for, they talk about wanting to be YouTube famous. What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a YouTube star. That is a fleeting.
these kids?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it's
YouTube
not just one.
YouTube star.
One family or one kid who says that they want to be
like
YouTube
Jam
famous.
And Jimmy. You know, a YouTube star. That it's incredible. I mean, it is incredible. Marianne, where did we go wrong in terms of our generation?
I have no idea. You know, you think you impart values to your children, but I think there's a lot of things fighting it. You know, a lot of media, social media and things, and it just kind of grows. One thing, though, I think that's infectious about Kate is that she's so enthusiastic and, you know, has this joy in her that must be attractive to people that draw you.
Thank you.
That you can listen. They stop and see your joy and then they say, maybe I want to know what makes that joy come bubbling out of you. And maybe that's, you know, what we need more of.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's not always easy to be joyful. We actually talked about that when we were in Israel, the difference between happiness and being joyful.
You listened.
Of course I did.
Wow.
She's a good listener.
Wow. It's so impressive. And so what is the difference?
Happiness is fleeting. Joy is in you.
And joy is based on relationship, which is the relationship with Jesus. Happiness is based on circumstance.
There we go. That's better. That's better.
That's really what you meant to say. And so the reality is that, you know, we get a good grade or we get a raise, we get this, that, or whatever, and we're happy. But then the next day, well, maybe not so much, you know. But when you have a relationship with Jesus, nothing can take that away. And you have that. How do you find friends within your generation?
That's a hard one. A lot of times, especially once you're out of college, work sometimes now has like rules about like social mixing outside because they're trying to protect their, I mean, it really just depends. I mean, I've made some friends, I've seen them, actually speaking of Be My Witness, a guy who I knew back from high school, wasn't friends with him, was at that first ALOB event almost a year ago now. And we kind of started hanging out again. He introduced me to some of his friends. A lot of people, though, in my generation, like, meet online. Sorry, that sounded kind of negative the way.
No, but it's true, right?
It is. But a lot of times, people also, they might go out and party or go out and go to a movie or go to dinner. But most relationships now are happening online. People want to sit at home and watch Netflix and text each other. People, you know, they have these great online communities, but they have no social skills in real life. I think that's also part of the reason when you're out and about, people are rude to waiters more than I think they used to. And vice versa is true. People are just impatient now because they want that immediate text back and they don't know how to read social cues anymore, and facial expressions. So a lot of my friends I've made from before or from events I've gone to, like Harry Potter events, because we have something in common. One of my best friends, the time I met her.
So one of the things I noticed on our trip is that everywhere you went, Kate was always thanking people and appreciating them as they go along. And it just meant so much. You could see their faces light up when you'd say, oh, you know, I really appreciate you doing this for me or something. And I think, you know, that is the bubbling that comes from your faith. That comes. How do you translate that when you're trying to find friends? Do you go right to the religion, or do you? How do you do that?
Well, I mean, it depends on the situation. If I'm at a bar watching a Clippers game, it's very clear where I stand on something, and I'm cheering against the Warriors, or I'm cheering against somebody. But faith comes up for me a lot because people are like, oh, what are you doing? Oh, well, I have church in the morning, so I'm not free till after, you know, 1 o'clock. Or I have Bible study. I don't, it's one of the things where I don't force it to come out, but God is such a part of my life that it's always going to come up. I was just in Israel. I'm talking about that all the time, whether because I'm, what have you done lately kind of question, or because it's just like, oh, let me tell you this awesome story of this place I went to. When you have a relationship with God, he's always there and you don't have to make it come up.
And don't you find that somewhere, somehow, most people have a yearning, right, to find out more about God?
Yeah.
I mean, the reality is that they've tried it their way. They want to try and make you think that, you know, that fancy clothes that they have, the new clothing that they have, the new car, whatever, is going to fulfill them. But it never does.
Because it's a fleeting happiness.
It is. It never does. It never fulfills them. And they feel broken, but they don't want to let you know that they're broken. So you have a great opportunity, as it says in John 15:16, it's not you who called me, but I who called you and appointed you to bear fruit. So you have been called. Do you realize that you're an evangelist?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Hey, I mean, I've been doing my Be My Witness for a while now. Like, I hope I'm getting better at this.
I love it. You know, and we're all called, my brothers and sisters, to be evangelists. But right now, you know, the statistics are scary. 70% of those that are confirmed in the Catholic Church, by the time they're 29, consider themselves not part of the church or not part of any church. They list themselves as the nuns, none of the above, in a survey. What do we need to do differently, do you think, Kim?
Well, this is kind of what I was talking about. There's not a place for me in my church. I love going to Mass, and I love going to Bible study, and I love our Be My Witness group, and the random day retreats was how I got to know you really well at the Prayer Marian retreat a while ago. But there's not a place for me. I feel lost. And because confirmation happens when we're like 14, 15, then the church kind of says, okay, you're done. And there's not a lot of, like, where am I supposed to go? Even at the church I went to, which I don't mean this meanly, but they had this, like, you know, upper room thing, but not a lot of people made it a priority. Parents no longer encourage their children. They let sports and school come first. And kids didn't make it their priority either. They'd rather, you know, stay home and watch YouTube videos. That, I think, is why, as part of the reason why so many people after college and don't have a relationship with God or their church anymore.
It's so important, Marianne, that we say yes to the Lord and encourage when we see someone like Kate, that we encourage them. How did you do that in the Bible study?
Well, she came with a really open spirit. And I think basically I welcomed her. I had known her, but didn't really know her personally. And we just accepted her. And Kate really came through with her enthusiasm and entered into discussion with us. And it just kind of grew. I think that she was open, and I don't know that we did anything.
You let me speak.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't shut down when I had disagreement. When I saw scripture different than you guys did or something like that, it wasn't a huge, like, hour-long discussion. That wasn't the point. But we got to spend 3 minutes talking about how I interpreted it and why. That was one of the things early on in Bible study that I enjoyed, is that I felt that even though I was younger or that I didn't have the same life experiences, you guys were letting me find God, and you were letting me find my relationship with Jesus with you guys. And it wasn't just being told, here's scripture, here's what we're reading. It was, here's scripture, let's talk about it. It was a discussion. That was helpful.
This is Deacon Steve Greco. You're on Empowered by the Spirit. We're talking about women's spirituality. We're going to be right back to talk more about the many challenges that women face and that we all face in growing our faith.
In L.A. County, there are more than 28,000 children in foster care. And sadly, every day more children enter the system. But their story doesn't have to end there. Maybe you've been thinking about starting or expanding your family. If so, there's a child in foster care waiting for you. A simple visit to fosterall.org can change the course of a child's life and yours. As a proud partner with the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, Foster All takes the guesswork out of navigating the foster adopt process and will match you with a foster family agency that suits your needs. Each agency is different, so let Foster All be your guide. Log on to fosterall.org. There's a community of amazing people waiting to support your decision to love a child, and Foster All is right beside you the entire way. Do you have room in your heart and your home for a child? Begin your journey with Foster All today at fosterall.org. That's fosterall.org.
Welcome back. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are on Empowered by the Spirit. We're talking about women and spirituality with Kate Neuhauser. Kate is just an amazing, amazing evangelist who is so on fire. Everything she does, she's on fire. She's on fire for Jesus, on fire for the Clippers, on fire for a lot of things. And with Marianne Greco, my spouse, for nearly 47 years. Hard to believe, Marianne, but that's a whole other story. And we're just talking about all the challenges that we all face, but the challenges that women face. And in looking at the millennial generation and looking at those that are not married, you know, finding a partner that in life that has your values is a real challenge. You talked about how many people get dates online. I think it's kind of hard to find someone with your values online, but not impossible. But how do you do that? I mean, how do you do that in which you find someone who's going to bring you closer to God, not necessarily away from God?
Well, clearly I have an issue with that since I am single. But that's also part of why I am single is the closer I've gotten to God, because I have made compromises in my life for men and for my, I mean, not just for men, but just in general. And when I dated people who were not faithful, it hurt my relationship with God. It was so much easier to stay in and go to brunch and have, you know, endless mimosas on Sunday morning rather than go to Mass, or to, you know, get dressed up early and, you know, go out for, you know, a nice dinner and drinks on a Saturday night, so I wouldn't go to Mass then either. I've found that, especially now that I'm 30, it's getting harder and harder to find men who are faithful because, as I kind of mentioned earlier, a lot of them are already married because they made God and family a priority.
Right.
And sometimes I feel like what's left, I have to compromise myself, or I compromise my relationship with God, or I have to wait. And I'm at least in a place now where I know I'd rather wait and stay strong with God. Part of that also is when we were in Israel, my roommate, Elizabeth, talked about how when she, because she's a little bit older than me, you know, a lot of people, you join the church or you get married. That's your vocation, you kind of nunnery or, you know, marriage. And she was, and I were talking, and she was like, hey, my calling might be, she's like, my calling is to be single. And that was hard to sometimes realize, but my relationship with God was more important than compromising something else. And I'm trying to get to a place, I still think my calling is to be married. I really want to be married and have kids. But I've dated guys who are not faithful, and it pulled me away from God. The last guy I was serious with, I do believe God talks to me, and we used to have a lot of good conversations. And when I was with this individual, I stopped being able to hear God. And
wow.
It was, I mean, and I was angry, and it wasn't that God wasn't talking to me. And I know that now that's something that, like, Elizabeth and I talked about, and really in Israel, came, like, it was very powerful for me, like an individual experience. And I knew that it was because I was with him. I knew it from the moment God stopped talking, from the moment I stopped being able to hear God. I knew it was because of the decision I was making with this boy and the things I was doing. And I knew I was being pulled away from going to Mass every week and from doing these things that I actually enjoy doing. I like going to church. I like listening to homilies, and I like going to different churches and hearing different perspectives. But I stopped being able to hear God, and I knew exactly what was happening. And I still kept making a mistake because I didn't want to be lonely. But I was so lonely all the time. And I was depressed all the time. And I wasn't sleeping well. And I just attributed it to not being in the best relationship. But when we started having problems towards the end and I stopped spending as much time with him, the more time I spent away from him, the closer I got to God again and the happier and more joyful I was. And then when we broke up and I really committed myself to not making that mistake again. I started being able to hear God again. I've been more joyful every day. But a lot of people can't make that distinction and that choice. And I think if I hadn't been around people who had a good faith backing and been around people who like kept inviting me to church and have kept doing things and kept, you know, believing in me, even when I didn't necessarily believe in like myself, that might not have happened.
My brothers and sisters, we are on the air, empowered by the Spirit with Kate Newhouser, a young adult evangelist, part of the millennial generation, who is really sharing the truth about the challenges that men and women have, but especially women, I think, are called to compromise all too often.
You know, one of the things I hear Kate say that I think is so important for us who are maybe a little bit older is that the people encouraged you, you know, to keep encouraging others. You know, we've been through experiences, maybe not the same as the younger generation, but that we can encourage them to follow the Lord and keep inviting them and keep encouraging them, because it is a difficult life that's out there to choose God over other things. So, you know, I encourage the rest of us to be out there encouraging all those young adults out there to choose God first.
And encourage everyone, and certainly
yes,
a young adult, but all of us. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36, therefore do not throw away your confidence. It will have great recompense. You need endurance to do the will of God and receive what he has promised. Endurance. Confidence. Okay, my brothers and sisters, are you ready? This is the profound moment on the show, and that is do not compromise. Do not compromise. Do not compromise. Yes, that is the Lord through me talking to you right now. You heard this very, very anointed, on fire young woman, Kate Newhouser, say that she felt like she had to compromise.
We did.
And that is what the enemy wants you to believe. The enemy wants you to believe that you have to do certain things that we all know what they are, you know, away from God's will, in order to have this relationship, in order to have happiness, in order to have all these things. It is a lie. It is a lie from the devil. The reality is that when you follow God's will and you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Matthew 6:33, then all these things will be added unto you. And that's what's so important. And you just said that when you were compromising, all of a sudden you didn't hear God. All of a sudden you didn't feel close to God. But then when you stopped compromising, everything changed.
Yeah, but I also, I mean, because I knew I was making a bad choice, but I also had to, like, work to come back to, like, hear God, because I still, like, have a lot of, like, regrets about, like, decisions I've made, not just in my life, but in that relationship that, like, pulled me from God. And part of that was also, like, learning to, I know God, Jesus forgives me and God forgives me, but I have trouble forgiving myself for the decisions I've made. And that also made it harder to come back to God, because I knew he loved me, but I didn't love myself even afterwards. And that was hard as well, to like kind of take a look at myself and really figure out how to forgive myself, or at least work on it and move past it. And part of that was continually praying, and not just like prayers of God, give me this, or God, help me. I used to always talk to God, and I'm doing that again. But I, like a running monologue, I talk out loud in my car to God all the time. And even when I couldn't hear him, I kept trying, because I knew I wanted that. And I knew, yeah, I had to work on it, because God was there. God is ready. God didn't leave me. I left him. I made bad choices, and I pulled myself away. I let myself, you know, get compromised and fall away. But I didn't give up. It's that endurance. I didn't give up. I kept trying even when it was hard and when I felt bad because I couldn't do what I needed to do.
What message do you have to the women of your generation that are going through the same trials?
The most important man in your life is God.
Amen.
Wow.
And the other message, that if they did slip and fall, what is the message?
You can fix it. You can get up and you can keep going, because God didn't leave when you slipped. God didn't walk away. He didn't keep walking on the path while you fell and stumbled. He waited for you. He stopped and he waited and he held out his hand. You just had to get up and take it. And that can be hard. It can be embarrassing to when you've done something wrong or when you've compromised yourself. But God didn't walk away. He stood next to you with his arms out, waiting for you to take them and come back up.
Okay, so here's the test to see whether or not you've passed and get an A, because I know you get straight A's. So I want to see. I want to see if you can pass this test. Does God love you more when you're following His will? Does He love you more at that point versus when you're sinning?
I don't think God's love for us ever changes.
Amen! You passed! Hallelujah! 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 Okay, so I want you to go back. I want you to think about this whole concept of what we call shame, right? Because who whispers in your ear how horrible you are?
The devil.
Exactly! Passed again. Bingo. The bottom line is this, my brothers and sisters, when you go to reconciliation, when you confess your sins, God not only forgives them, He forgets them. So when you go to heaven, don't remind Him.
Well, speaking of reconciliation, the first time I went to reconciliation in years was actually after that prayer retreat about Mary. That was the first time. And I cried afterwards. I went to your prayer meeting afterwards. I mean, I was already like getting into a better place, but I was just sitting there sobbing, and I hadn't felt so good in so long after confessing. Because I went to a Lutheran school for a while too, and a lot of other Christian faiths, like, you just have to ask. You don't have to go somewhere else. You can ask God directly. And I asked God for forgiveness all the time. But when I talked about it, and you know, I felt absolution, and I was reminded, I wasn't told because it's not the priest's job to tell me, but I was reminded that God loves me and it's going to be okay. That was, I just felt good.
It is one of the great gifts of the Catholic Church is to have this sacrament of reconciliation in which you are reconciled, made right with God, and you are being told how much God loves you through the actual sacrament of reconciliation. So what message do you have to your generation right now that maybe has not gone to reconciliation since they were confirmed?
Oh, I don't even know. It's never too late. But you have to want to be forgiven. This idea, I know I have friends who are like, oh, well, I'm just going to ask for forgiveness. And then they go out and do the same thing at the bar that night. And I'm like, so you weren't actually like feeling guilty about what you were doing. You were just looking for an easy way out. You have to. The whole point of reconciliation and forgiveness is that you want to change and you want to be better.
When you're writing the book, by the way, you know, I mean, we are so excited to have Kate Neuhauser on the show, along with Marianne Greco and myself, to talk about God's love, God's forgiveness. And my brothers and sisters, I know that many of your generation is not listening to this show, but they can hear it on podcasts. So you that are parents and so forth, and somehow you can get a copy and, you know, advise them. You can go to our website, spiritfilledhearts.org, and you can get this broadcast downloaded. But you need to listen to what Kate has to say about how much God loves us. And it's never too late.
Never too late.
It's never too late. And so many people live in shame and they live in desperation and they want everyone to think that they've got it together. But the reality is the only people that even remotely have it together are the people who give their life to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And it's so important, Marianne, to understand that we as parents need to be patient with our children.
We have to realize that, you know, we made mistakes when we were going through life and our journey. We still do. And we have to be ready and willing to love them through their difficult times and their journeys, you know, and that, you know, no judgment. You know, it's like, okay, let's just love them through this. And yes, there's things that they can do better, but let's remind them it's never too late. And God looks at each person, not for the things that you've done, but for the potential of who you are and who He created you to be. And that's how we need to look at each individual, not, you know, for what they've done in their past, but who they are with the Lord.
God sees the potential within
us.
Yes. We're going to come right back to talk more about women and spirituality, but we're going to focus on prayer and how prayer makes such a big difference no matter where we are right now. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are on Empowered by the Spirit.
Hi, this is Father Quan Tran, parochial vicar for Christ Cathedral Parish, and today we're going to talk about holiness. We all know that we're all called to holiness, and so we need to understand what holiness is. God tells us, be holy, for I am holy. So God is holy. So therefore, to be holy then is to become like God. But what is God really like? Well, we know that Jesus is the perfect image of the invisible God. So then to be holy is to be like Jesus. The saints have conformed themselves in a radical way to Jesus. And so we too need to be like Jesus if we are to become holy. But in order to be like Jesus, we need to spend time with him, to know him. And we need to do this through prayer, through reading of scripture, and to spend time with him, to develop a relationship with him. And then we can become like him and to be holy for the glory of God.
Deacon Steve Greco, we are back here high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, with two incredible women, Kate Neuhauser and Mary Ann Greco, my bride of nearly 47 years. Kate is a young adult evangelist, a millennial who is on fire with the Lord. And Mary Ann, so many, of course, men and women want to find that spouse, that mate who is going to help them get close to the Lord. Now, from a parenting standpoint, what is one of the absolute key things that you can do to help your son or daughter find the right person?
Well, I think the first thing is really to start praying for
Amen.
Them. And also to start praying for their spouse, whether they've met them yet, but that their spouse be maintain their purity and their faith for the Lord. But the other thing is, I think that we need to really show them what good role models look like, you know, and what that relationship is, and how we work out problems together, and don't just walk away from things. And so we can role model that to our children and tell them what makes a good relationship.
Okay, we had the sound bite. Don't compromise, don't compromise, don't compromise. So here's another one. Turn to the Blessed Mother, turn to the Blessed Mother, turn to the Blessed Mother. Pray the rosary. Why was the very first miracle in John of the seven major signs, the seven major miracles, Cana? And we were there.
We were there.
We were there. Cana.
I bought wine there.
You bought wine there. Okay. But the Blessed Mother said to Jesus, or actually said to the head waiter, do whatever he tells you to do, and went and interceded for Jesus regarding a wedding. Now, it was regarding something different, you know, as it relates to the wine. But the point I'm making is pray the rosary. When you pray the rosary and you pray for each member of your family, pray for all your children, pray a decade each day, as a parent now, you can make a huge difference. And praying and asking for God to bring that special spouse to your children is huge. And I'm just going to do a shout out to Tillman, the husband of our daughter, who is a man of incredible faith and resilience and determination and loves Jesus and has written all kinds of articles and different things he's done and been a great leader. And, you know, when they were married, he wasn't a Catholic, but he converted after that to be Catholic, and he definitely is on fire with the Lord.
And I think, you know, the thing that his values were there, his value systems were there even before he became a Catholic. And I think that's the thing you don't compromise on, are those values. I think that's what you and I, Steve, started out with. I mean, we didn't do it perfectly, but I think we grew up together. We got married pretty young, but we had the same values, you know, things that are important, God in our lives. And so, you know, that's where the don't compromise comes in.
And to find people that have those values, mm-hmm. you know, so many times, again, we don't necessarily stand in the faith that we need to. And Kate, it's just so important that we learn the whole concept of to expect a miracle to happen. That's why I wrote the book, Expect and Experience Miracles, right? Found on Amazon, where you can go to our website, which is spiritfulhearts.org, or you can contact me, Deacon Steve, at spiritfulhearts.org. But this book has changed the lives of so many people, because just expecting a miracle basically means, as it says in Hebrews 11:6, that when we have faith, that is the only time we really please God, than when we expect something important to happen and really believe that he exists. So praying and believing, Kate, that someone is coming who is going to be, if that's what God wants, mm-hmm. right, is going to be your helpmate in a sense, going to be your partner, going to bring you closer to Christ. But expecting it to happen is really important. Your thoughts on
it? There's a difference between wanting something and believing something is going
Amen.
To happen.
Amen.
I want a lot of things, but that's just a want. But when I start actually believing it, that's when things do start happening. When I start believing I'd have a better relationship with God again, instead of just like wanting it and not doing anything about it. Like, I want a lot of things, but believing in it is a different, it's a slight difference, but it's a big enough difference. It's a big difference to God.
It's a gigantic difference. You know, and we see this in Mark, when we pray and believe that we'll receive it, then that happens and we have those miracles. And when we believe things like Philippians 4:19, my God will fully supply whatever you need, not what you want, but what you need in accordance with his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And so really praying and believing that God is going to supply what it is that we need, and certainly following him is what we need, you know, and that becomes the number one priority. And God has called you to be this evangelist. Now, you are moving, which I am very upset about.
I'll be back all the time. Don't worry.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But you're going to invite us to come to Florida, too.
I've already invited you. Open bedroom. Okay. Ready to go. Don't worry, y'all.
Okay. So Marianne and I will come visit you. But here's the thing. God is calling you as an evangelist to make a difference. And you're going to go there, and here's a little bit of prophecy. You're going to find some incredible people to nourish your faith.
I think I will.
Yeah.
I know I will.
Okay.
See? It's the vocabulary, too. My people in general, it's those slight word differences that make a huge difference. So I will. I don't think I will.
It is a gigantic difference. That's why Jesus was so excited about the centurion. He said, say but the word. It'll happen. I know it's going to happen. I'm not going to ask you to do it. I'm going to thank you for doing it, in a sense, because I know it's going to happen. And that difference is gigantic, Marianne.
Yeah, and I think so often we pray for things and then we're not open to look and see it happen in our lives. We're just like praying and, oh, well, it, you know, and we don't think I'm ready to receive what God has for me. So when we say those prayers, let's start having the eyes and the heart to be open to see where God is working in your life and see those answers come and see God working in our lives. So don't just pray and forget about it, but keep an open eye and heart to see his miracles.
Kate, you're going to see miracle after miracle after miracle, and you're going to make such a difference in so many people's lives.
Thank you.
It's going to be so exciting, and you better stay in touch.
Oh, I definitely will.
Okay. Marianne, as it relates to women and spirituality, what final thoughts do you have? Because it's such a challenge. So many women have their husbands say, don't attend Bible study, don't go to church. I mean, how, as a woman, how do you get past that?
Well, I think it's realizing, you know, we do make commitments to our husbands, and, you know, I do hear that a lot, but it is the woman who makes, as Kate said, puts God first. He's the first man in her life. And so there's ways that God can work that out and continue to pray for our spouses or our future spouses, but to not compromise and yet to be supportive to other women that are going through a difficult time and not, you know, say, yeah, I know it's really hard to get here, or to make that commitment. You know, let's encourage each other to make the right decisions as we're making those decisions and choosing between the world and God and what's easy and what's difficult. Let's help each other out.
So let's go to the opposite extreme.
Okay.
You're married to a deacon who travels all over the world.
That's right.
That isn't at home at times when you want him to be home. How do you handle that?
Well, well, how do I handle it? Well, that's a good question. But I really focus on the Lord. You know, I may not like everything that plays out in my life. But, you know, I like Kate talk to God out loud a lot. And I say, you know, I know you're in this. I don't understand this right now, but I trust in you, Lord. And I know that this is something and you'll take care of me. I may feel lonely today if I'm alone, but I trust in you, and God always brings something into your life or someone else. And, you know, and so it's just really bringing it back to the Lord. And for practical standpoint, sometimes when I'm feeling a little less than spiritual, I'll say, I put on music and I listen to music and, spiritual music, Holy Spirit music, and it just flows in me and it instantly changes my outlook to be centered on God and not on myself.
Amen, amen, amen. It's not easy, right?
No.
Not easy to be married.
Not always.
Not easy to live out your faith, but praying together is extremely important. Going to Mass together, going to events together, you know, as often as you can.
And if you don't have a spouse, find a buddy to pray with. You know, it doesn't have to be your spouse or your husband.
Of the same sex.
Yes. Usually. Yeah. Yeah. That's probably better. But let's find a prayer partner to ask for prayer. Open up and ask for prayer. Don't think that you have to do it alone. A lot of times we isolate ourselves when we're feeling a little down.
Well, one thing that is good about social media is I see a lot of people asking for prayers online. My husband is hurt. Can you pray for us?
Exactly.
And I think in a perfect world, I would, like, Marianne, I'm struggling. Can you pray for me today? Even if we don't have time to pray together in person, will you pray for me? It's also asking, just like we go to God, we need to go to our fellow Catholics and our fellow Christians and our fellow humans. We have to be on the offense. We can't keep playing defense.
Amen.
When it comes to Satan and distraughtness in the world. We have to go on the offense. And the first line of that is to pray. We can't wait for something bad to happen. We need to start, you know, cut the head off the head of the snake. Like before things even go wrong, start asking for prayers. Because then it's easier to ask for prayers and to pray when you already have that foundation of that relationship with God and that relationship with your fellow humans.
And this is Ephesians 6:10. Finally, draw your strength from the Lord and from his mighty power. And as it says in verse 18, with all prayer and supplication, pray at every opportunity to the Spirit. And with that spirit to that end, be watchful with all perseverance and supplication for all the holy ones. So praying in the spirit, praying with the Lord's power, very, very important. What final thoughts do you have for the women and in general, your generation?
Don't give up. So in 10 minutes, no one's going to care what you did in social media 10 minutes ago. It's that those so many things that we care about in my generation are so fleeting. And God is forever, and our relationship with him is forever, and you can't give up on, God's not giving up on you. Don't give up on him for something that's only going to last for a few minutes here on earth.
You are awesome.
Thank you.
And may Almighty God bless you abundantly, and Marianne, our marriage, and our family, and all of our families. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these two wonderful women. We ask for the Holy Spirit to fill them and fill all of our listeners, to anoint them with the power of the Holy Spirit, to heal them spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. We do ask for this special blessing upon Kate as she moves to another state, that she be safe on her drive and that she truly be anointed with the power of your love and the power of your Holy Spirit to be an evangelist in that state. We ask, Lord God, for all the people listening in, Lord God, that they be anointed during this very important season, anointed, Lord God, with your love through the intercession of the Holy Spirit, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. In Jesus' name, and I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you all. We'll be with you next week at the same time.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org.
That's empowered at spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week
on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio.